everybody, and welcome back to another season of the Fantasy Plex podcast. The whole family is back. Grandpa Cabes, Uncle Luke, and used to be the big dog, Tyler Drake, but now I think we got to call him the big daddy.
I love it.
So it's good to see everybody again. It's good to be back doing this. Obviously, we took some time off because of the pandemic. It threw things off a bit. Some things have changed. So who wants to get started just catching up the listeners on what we've been doing over the past couple of years?
I think Luke's got to go first.
I've got to go first. I was going to say, I think we need to follow up on why he's calling you Big Daddy now.
All right, yeah, I'll go first. So, yeah, I our last episode, I got married, and now we have a beautiful daughter named Brady. She's 5 weeks old now, and she's up a lot. She poops a lot, but it's great. It's a great time. We're having a great time. It's awesome.
Big congrats on that one. Tyler Drake, the big daddy now. That's a lot. That's a lot to handle. And major congrats to you and Mackenzie, who's, for the listeners who have not known, she has made appearances on this podcast.
Oh yeah,
was she like the? Was she the first? I think
she was.
She was our first guest. Yeah.
She broke the seal for us, and can't wait to have her back. And maybe down the line we'll have Brady on an episode.
True.
Who knows?
Oh yeah.
True.
If she was awake, I'd bring her down.
Yeah, you gotta get some peace time now while she's sleeping, right?
Oh yeah.
Luke, you're in a different location now.
Yeah. Depending on, probably you can tell by the audio quality on all of us that we're actually recording this on Zoom. So hopefully we get it done in our 40 minutes. Or maybe we'll have to do some after editing splicing. We'll see. But yeah, I actually moved back to Michigan, my hometown, right after the wedding that Tom was also at.
And great wedding. From what I remember, it was a great wedding.
It was a great wedding.
But yeah, I'm just excited to get back to the Fantasy Football Flex. And definitely feel more dedicated to fantasy football when we're doing this. Like, my teams last year were not too great. They're all right, but I just didn't have the motivation, you know what I mean? So very excited to get back to it and do a little show with my friends.
Yeah, let's get it.
Definitely. Well, for my end, I was living with a frequent guest on the show, Danny Shapiro, and I'm sure hopefully down the line we'll get him back on one of these episodes. But I was able to save enough to buy a little condo out here and moved into Phoenix. It was a rough, lonely pandemic, but to this point we got through it, and things seem to be turning around for the better. And same with you, Luke. I'm excited to get back to playing some fantasy football. And, you know, one of the big things here in Arizona now that sports betting is legalized.
I think he cut out. He froze. Well, he's definitely, you know, talking about it's going to be probably a big hotspot out there in Arizona.
For my regular fantasy league too. And draft day is right around the corner for me. So definitely we should get right into it here.
Is there any place you wanted to start, Tom?
I think a good starting place for us this week is probably the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very interesting year. Obviously, one of the best quarterbacks of all time is hanging up the cleats, and Drew Brees. Got another GOAT who just is coming off of a Super Bowl win. A lot of changes. Dak Prescott comes back into the mix this year. And I think one of the trends I've been seeing with the quarterbacks is that they've been going a little bit higher in drafts, especially a guy like Patrick Mahomes. So those are a few of the things that stand out to me at first glance at the position. What do you guys think? Am I missing anything there? What's is standing out to you guys here?
You know, the biggest thing for me, I think, would be I think somebody's going to take Mahomes early, first round, probably in every league. Like, I think, number one, you got to know who you're playing against. But obviously, he's going to get swooped up quick. The thing that stands out for me is, how is that O-line going to be for them? Because they've got a relatively, you know, strung together O-line. But, you know, I would – let's see. If you're middle round, I mean, I'd go after them too, man. I mean, you got to set up your team, and that's the best way to get it right there. Start it up with the guy you know is going to be a starter every week and get you solid points.
What would you say is the highest you would probably take Mahomes?
Like, I would probably say I take him 7.
Overall or 7th round?
7 overall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm switching things up a little this year.
Oh, you're
look, that's an interesting number because I really think that there's 6 main running backs, and then after that it drops off. Is that kind of your thought process with that?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because I feel like there's so many wide receivers right now that you just got to get a running back, get a top tier quarterback, and then just kind of spin the wheel for a wide out.
I could see that. There's going to be a lot of value later on. And one of the things I did want to kind of talk to you probably once we get to our running back episode or whatever is, after that, probably that top 6 running backs, it just seems like it's kind of crazy. And it's like, it seems like it's really risky. It seems like it's filled with a lot of guys who you're just not sure about. Like, it's like, it's a gamble. So I guess logically I could see that. I think the most interesting part of the quarterbacks this year, especially if you look at a lot of like top 10 boards, you've got a lot of quarterbacks that are also going to give you points running. Huge. Dak Prescott, people are projecting Kyler Murray to go really high. Josh Allen always does it with his feet. Still got Lamar. Russell Wilson always gets you a little bit on the ground. Same with Rodgers, Herbert, and even one other. I don't know if you guys have him this high, but I've seen people project Jalen Hurts as a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, I've been seeing that too. I don't think I would put him in top 10 right now, but he's I have him probably 11, 12. That's kind of my range for him right now.
Yeah, I don't think you can ignore the extra 2 bonus points you get for rushing touchdowns. I don't think you can ignore the full point for every 10 rushing yards. It's just – it's becoming too evident year in and year out that maybe it's not the best thing for an NFL football team. I think that value from a fantasy perspective is invaluable. Mm-hmm. The rushing yard – the extra point you get for rushing yard – you know, at 10 instead of 25, the 2 points for touchdowns, I just think those are going to cause quarterbacks who aren't necessarily
probably great throwing the ball, they can make it up with their feet. This is also episode 1, kind of a dry run, figuring out. We haven't actually tested on Zoom until now. Okay, you're back. I think it's invaluable to have the points on the ground. You look back a couple of years to Lamar Jackson's MVP run, most of that was on the ground. He put up insane numbers. He did it through the air too. You know, he had, I mean, I think that first game against the Dolphins, he threw for like 5 touchdowns or something. But a lot of that damage is on the run. And you just get – it's like – it kind of feels like it's having – you're having like 1.5 of a player, I guess. You know, you're getting an extra half. It's like having a good running back in a PPR league that catches balls too. I do see how the way that the NFL trend of quarterbacks that can run, it's definitely influencing fantasy football too, because people are seeing the value there.
Yeah, but there is one thing. There was one name mentioned, Kyler Murray, and you got to keep this in mind, because he said that he wants to use his legs as a luxury. So keep that in mind when you're drafting, because he's been up there high with – he's top 3, top 4, top 5 among a lot of rankings. And that right there is kind of – I think he's going to get some work on the run, but that's still showing that he'd rather throw the ball than run the ball, which obviously in quarterback position you want to do that. But the dude can do both and do both very well. So you would want to utilize that, but at the same time, it's just going to, I think it's going to be a little bit different than what we've seen.
Do you guys have him at, where do you guys have him in your ranks? Do you have him at three or do you have him up or down?
I've got him three.
So you're going Josh Allen two, Mahomes one?
No, I'm going Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray.
Whoa.
And then I got Josh Allen right after that, and then I got Dak.
Okay.
I still got I think you have to put Mahomes one. I'm still a big fan of Lamar Jackson, especially in that division. You know, you play the Bengals twice, who are still going to be pretty terrible. I think the Steelers are kind of starting to be done. The Browns are probably the best competition in the division, and they're still – you just know he's going to do it on the ground, and they've really committed to that with J.K. Dobbins, who might take away some of his burn, but I think the more threats on the ground for Lamar, the better it is to open him up, and it will open up him throwing too, you know what I mean? So I would still probably put Lamar there, but I could see an argument for Josh Allen. He just puts up numbers. It's insane. And he has a really easy division there too with the Jets twice. I guess the Dolphins were better, but I'm pretty sure he lit them up both times last year.
And he's got Stephon Diggs to throw to.
Yeah, so he set up pretty good. I think the real debate between me would be Kyler or Dak, mostly because Kyler, you're betting on upside. You know, you're expecting a jump. Dak has quietly been like a top five fantasy quarterback basically every season he's played, which seems kind of crazy, but it's like facts.
Yeah, the reason why I've got him lower is because he's still getting MRIs. He's coming off an injury, so that's why I dropped him a little bit lower. But I mean, like you said, I think if you could get Dak on your team, I think you're going to be poised for a good year this year.
Yeah, and like I think that it all comes down with, especially the quarterback position, is where you really get the value. Because if you can get a Dak Prescott a little bit later, maybe he puts up a few less points than some of these other guys, but you can make up that difference if you get like a steal. That's about what I would do. I'd probably put Russell Wilson five. He just always performs really. And he has two great wideouts. One of them always gets 40 points every other game. It doesn't really make sense. He's always going to be consistently good.
I think it's a little bit of homerism in me, but I think the number two quarterback I'm going to target if I'm not able to get Mahomes is probably Kyler. I had him on my team last year, and you know, I know he fell off towards the end of the season, but he definitely carried me in the first portion of it. And I just think his arsenal has improved. I think you look at Tyler, you might have the most insight to this, but a guy like A.J. Green on the outside, maybe the timing's not there yet, but Rondale Moore looks really good, their second-round draft pick out of Purdue. And then you still got Christian Kirk. You still got DeAndre Hopkins. Those guys are pretty consistent, and they have established roles on that team. So – I know Josh Allen provides. You look at Josh Allen's numbers, and he really does get it done on the ground, either 8 or 9 touchdowns per year rushing in all of his three seasons so far. I like Lamar, too. I like Dak. I think his arsenal has also improved since the last time he's had a full season. I worry a little bit about Lamar's receivers, but what he does on the ground is unmatchable at that position. So, yeah, I mean, I think all of these guys are primed for humongous years. But I'm definitely excited about Kyler. Maybe, Tyler, you can expand on that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll tell you from personal experience, being out there every day, seeing everything that they're doing out there, A.J. Green looks like a number one receiver still. Those guys could put up – him and DeAndre could easily go 1,000 and 1,000 this year if A.J. can stay on the field. You just got to take and throw Rondale Moore in there, like you said, too. The dude is just shocking people right now with what he's doing. Christian Kirk still got that speed. But, yeah, man, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Rondell Moore, Christian Kirk. That's going to be one of the best receiving cores in the league, but it's all dependent on how long can they keep AJ on the field. And I think he's poised to come back and play quite a bit. And if he – oh, man, if they can get him for 14 games, they're going to they have insurmountable amount of weapons to use, man. It's just going to be nuts. He's got every tool in the chest at his disposal. He's just got to go out there and deliver it now, really.
Now that we've added a 17th game, you talked about the Cardinals having two potential 1,000-yard wide receivers. Do you guys see any of these quarterbacks throwing for 5,000, maybe 6,000 yards this year? Are there the quarterbacks we've talked about at the top of this list are all kind of dual threat guys. And then after that, you kind of start getting into the, you know, Aaron Rodgers types, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, the pocket passer categories a little bit more. Do you see any of those type of players, or even the players we already mentioned, putting up a 5,000, 6,000-yard season potentially?
The only one really to me would be Mahomes, because he does – Mahomes is more of a he'll throw the ball more than he'll run. He definitely has wheels, but he's like Rodgers, where he's still always looking for the throw, and he's going to make the throw overtaking the run. Whereas the other guys might be also doing that, but they're also probably not as good as making the throw. So they're better off probably just taking the maybe like a 5-yard run or something like that. But like you said, I think they're probably going to get so many extra yards off the run that I don't really probably see them making or passing for 5,000 yards. I could see one of the pocket passers, maybe like Rodgers, I could see maybe throwing. I would say maybe Stafford and the Rams. You know, now you put Goff there. Goff had some great seasons out there. Now you have a better quarterback with great receivers. You know,
I don't know, man. I'm not sold yet on Stafford. I gotta see him play like a regular season, or actually play any kind of live NFL snaps with the Rams before I can sign off on that. I don't know. Like you said, he's great in Detroit, threw it a lot, scored a lot of touchdowns, but man, that is the one move that I'm still kind of like, what?
I think
it's interesting that they decided not to play him at all during the preseason. It's a bold move by McVay there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see part of it is he was, especially the last couple of years, he's been dinged up, and he's missed games, and he's played through a lot of injuries, and he still put up pretty good numbers. I think durability is probably even more important this year than other years, just because of the whole extra game, you know? So you're probably looking at some of these guys. We mentioned Dak earlier, and you're like, or I just don't know about that injury, and maybe the injury is even more important now. Or maybe you say it's even less important, I don't know, because you have an extra game to play with, an extra game to maybe make the playoffs. But
I could see there being more of backups on fantasy rosters too this year in the quarterback position, just because that extra game, just because you never know. You might need that extra guy for more than that bye week.
True, very true.
I do like Stafford's receiving core with Woods and Kupp. He should have he should be able to distribute the ball to a few more options that he had on the Lions. Sorry.
Yeah, he's done a lot with less. You know, he's done very good with less. So I think it's very interesting to see.
Jackson to that mix too. He's got, you know, a tight end option in Higbee. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I think I want to see it first too, but you know, you guys brought up a good point. For me, when you look at this top tier, I think Dak, before he got injured, was on pace for 7,000 yards passing.
You take Lamar Jackson. We need to, like, flag him down or something when his audio cuts up. Do you have, like, an Ethernet core, Tom?
It's going to happen every time I talk, huh?
We got to leave that in.
Why this happens? I use Slack on this computer every day, and I never get cut off.
I need to invest in a little Ethernet cord just to stabilize it a little bit. But you say you would take something with I read your lips. Thankfully, we're doing video here. Something Dak Prescott and Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely put Lamar ahead of Dak. I think I'd have Dak solidly in fifth. And if the opportunity comes for me to draft a Dak Prescott, I would be hesitant because of the injury concerns mostly.
Yeah.
I have for Lamar, since we're talking him still, I got him an 8 right now on my board. And then for Stafford, he's down on 13.
I think that says a lot about the depth, honestly, I think, in the quarterback this room this year. Because if you are – even though you say you're skeptical on Stafford, if you get there and, you know, he's pretty much all that's left, you're probably not leaving the draft, like, upset because you probably got a lot of value somewhere else.
Exactly.
Right.
So – I think this year, maybe along with like a lot of other years, there is a lot of balance, probably especially in that mid-range. You know, if you're not getting like probably a top 4 guy, the next 6, I would say, are probably, you know, it's probably choose who you like. It's make a bet here. You know, you're like, I like this bet. I would bet on this guy succeeding here more than this guy type of thing.
Look at the schedule, like see their plan. Who's their defense? Who's got the easier schedule defense-wise? Like, yeah.
Exactly. You guys were both really, really high on Russell Wilson. It seems like you guys are less high on Aaron Rodgers. Is that because of the holdout or?
No, I got him at number 6.
You have Rodgers at 6?
Yeah, I got him at 6, and that's – I have a star with him and Dak because it's kind of just – depending on what happens with Dak hopefully he's back 100%. We all want him to be back 100%. But if not, then Rodgers would slide up to 5. I'd move Dak down a little bit. But, yeah, I think he's going to have a good season. I just think it's not going to be, let's say, as good as it was last season, which, I mean, he had a great year. So
he had an awesome year. Yeah, I'm kind of – no, I still think – I think I have him like 6 or 7, basically kind of around that range. To me, man, the biggest thing with him is he still doesn't have a receiver outside of Adams. Great. Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess –
to your point, exactly, yeah.
They brought back Randall Cobb, and, like, let's be real, what's a good year for Randall Cobb? It's like, what, 800 yards? I mean, that's like not bad, but the thing, I don't know.
He's another option for him. He's definitely another option.
I do think Aaron Jones gets a lot of reps there, you know? I would still say with like Kyler and Josh Allen especially is that they don't really have a running back, you know? Like – I don't know.
Yeah, and Jamal's over in Detroit now, isn't he?
Yeah, their main backup is over here.
Exactly.
So he's probably going to even get more run. They're definitely trying to be more balanced with him, and I think that's smart, especially at this point in his career, for sure.
A.J. Dillon's a bit of a bruiser in that backfield. 4,299 yards, 48 touchdowns. Completion percentage over 70% last year for Rodgers.
To your point, he had a great year. I think he'll still be great.
I think so too.
He doesn't add as much value like on the run as the guys ahead of him.
But who knows? It's his final year. It's probably his final year in Green Bay, so he'll go out there and just start slinging it. Like whatever.
True. You're probably right there. It's like, what do I have to lose?
Here we go. Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Rodgers, you just have to expect some regression. 37 years old, huge numbers last year, I think. I just don't see him matching that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. One guy that I'm really interested in seeing what you guys think is Justin Herbert. Because he really exploded, I think, last year when he finally started playing.
I got him as number 7 right now. I think him and Eckler are gonna have a huge year together. That's kind of my one of my big thoughts on this year is, I just think he's gonna take another step, man. I think he's gonna take another step for sure, and he's got enough weapons. I think Eckler's poised for a big year, just doing both receiving and rushing.
Yeah.
I think he fits the profile. I think he fits the profile for an NFL quarterback. I just worry about him, the way he came out of Oregon. People were definitely saying that he needed another year. He looked NFL ready his first year. I think there's definitely some outcomes for this season that include a little bit of regression for him. But I think the Chargers really came into their own late in that season, and I think they're going to contend for a wild card spot and a playoff push. And if they do, Herbert's going to have a huge year. He's going to have to be a major part of that.
Right, because they still have Keenan Allen. They still have got Mike Williams, right?
Yep.
So they've got Eckler, who's a workhorse, who – that dude last year, that was probably like the steal of the draft, really. He ended up one of the best running backs,
mm-hmm.
you know, PPR guy. So I think it'll be – I think he's going to have a huge year. He might be a guy, depending on how my draft works out, I think he might be one of the guys that I'm really, like, targeting this year.
I got another one for you guys. How do you feel – how much did Tannehill's stock rise with Julio's addition, Tennessee?
It was great. Great mind.
I think a lot.
Yeah. I had that question too. I think so, too.
It gives it's going to allow Derrick Henry to not be the sole focal point of that offense. I think from Tannehill's perspective, it definitely helps him. He's going to get more chances probably to throw the ball. I think the move is going to benefit Julio a little bit more than Tannehill at the end of the day. But, I mean, you can't argue with adding an extra weapon like that, one of the greatest receivers of the decade. So, I mean, I think that could only help Tannehill. You saw what adding DeAndre Hopkins did for Kyler Murray last year. It's going to open up, really, I think, the running game for Tannehill too, because they're going to have to put more attention on the outside. And when he drops back, if he finds some lanes through that pass rush, I think he could pick up more on the ground. He's athletic enough to do that. It should help him a ton.
Yeah, I got him. I got him at number 9 right now, QB9.
Yeah, I think that's a great. I you're right. That is a really good pick. That's it always feels like, especially the last couple of years, how deep quarterback is. You walk out of this draft and you have Tannehill. Maybe you take another guy really late just to, like, a bet on somebody. You feel good, man. Like, you don't feel bad.
And when you get Tannehill, here's the other great thing, too. You can double dip with either A.J. Brown or Julio. I mean, that's not a bad either or right there.
Yeah, locking up those combos for the passing touchdown or touchdown reception is always sweet when you can pound those on your opponent. Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the strategy. If you can't hit on Mahomes or whoever you have in that top tier of quarterbacks, if you can go and pick up two top 13, top 15 guys, you know, in that you know, 8 to 15 range, and then just rotate them based on what you said, Tyler, and the matchups and on what defenses, and ride the hot hand. I think you can find a lot of success in fantasy football with using that strategy, especially with the way the game's played today, because if you get two quality quarterbacks, the odds are one of them's going to go off that week. And it might be a little more stressful to try to figure out who to put in your starting lineup that week, but it's definitely doable to go that route, quarterback league.
It's a lot more stressful to find a serviceable quarterback on the waiver wire than it is to decide between two decent starters. Let's put it that way.
Very true. Very true. And that happens. It does happen. That's the worst spot you want to find yourself in, really.
And I think that's why I put so much emphasis on the quarterbacks, man. Like, the last couple of years, it's just I've been burned that way. And that's why I'm like, you know, I would take Mahomes as high as the first round, because it's just – that's just how it's worked out for me so these last couple of years. And, you know, having a solid base basically for then the rest of the team you can just kind of build around is you can't go. I don't see a bad reason. I wouldn't do it with anybody else, but Mahomes definitely.
With that being said, what is the latest round you're targeting a quarterback in?
Well, see, that's the thing too, is I think for me, I'm going to try to find a backup or maybe a guy that's got a ton of upside that's going to be way, 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 way late. Like, I took Mahomes as a rookie, or not a rookie, but when he took over, I took him in probably one of the last three or four rounds because nobody just knew what they were going to expect from him. And I ended up winning my league because of this dude when I had – I think I had – who else did I have? I had another decent quarterback that I was like, "How? Why am I playing this guy in front of this guy?" And then week one, boom, I'm like, oh, never mind. We're good. We're just going to do it. So, and I mean, that was the – so I if you can find – a quarterback late with a ton of upside, he might be the guy that you can ride the rest of the year. I bet you a bunch of people took Herbert super late, and look what happened this last year.
Mm-hmm. Who's a question for you would be, who's one of those guys that you're looking at
for like a late round backup or, you know, replacement option? I mean, for me, there's no doubt about it, and if you've watched this team at all in the first couple of preseason, Justin Fields, man.
Oh, God.
I mean, I don't know if he's going to start right away, but I think
– I think I do agree with you.
I don't know, man. I'd rather, like, target, like, a Baker or something late if he would fall. That might not happen, but, I mean, I've got him down at, like, 16, so I could see him dropping pretty far.
You have Baker at 16 or Fields at 16?
I got Baker at 16.
Yeah, look, I mean, Fields, he's probably not going to start right away. And like I said, you got to worry about that offensive line. But if he gets his chance, he's still got Allen Robinson. And I'm not fully sold on any of those defenses in the NFC North if the Bears can figure out their offensive line. I think when you get into week 10 or week 11, Dalton could be injured, Foles could be injured, and Fields could be the last man standing, and he could really do some damage from what we've seen in the first couple preseason games at least. So
Foles is going to be an indie, bro.
Yeah, I don't know if Foles will see any playing time at all, but but the way the Bears' O-line is, they might need five quarterbacks, you know?
Yeah.
So I think he could make an impact. I think Fields will make an impact for a handful of weeks this season. And if you have him on your bench and it's one of those weeks, then you're going to luck out that week.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he might be – I kind of do agree with you. He's one of the guys I would definitely keep my eyes out this season. But he might not be draftable – unless it's like a deep league, because I guess we still don't know, but isn't the rumors, or isn't Andy Dalton supposed to be starting right now? So yeah. I mean, it probably only be a couple weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks, but he might be a guy you can get away with getting off the waiver wire later on.
It's going to be 3 or 4 weeks or 2 or 3 picks.
Oh.
No, I think the Bears have to stick with Andy Dalton just because of how – and it's crazy because this team made the playoffs last year. But, I mean, if you look at the roster top to bottom, they have some major holes. And I think you got to ease Fields in there despite, you know, spending such a high pick on him, first-round pick. You got Andy Dalton, you got Nick Foles, you got other options to take early season bullets if you can scratch out some wins that way. But I truly believe by the end of the year we're going to see Justin Fields, and you definitely want to take him probably in one of your last 4-round picks to fill out the bottom of your bench, probably the third quarterback on your roster. This is a guy I'm
– Would you take him over Trevor Lawrence?
Fields? I would take Fields over Trevor Lawrence. I would.
Of course you would.
Look, the Jags are going to be
– I would. I would take Trevor Lawrence over Fields.
Is Lawrence going to start, or is it going to be the mustache man?
Going to start Trevor Lawrence.
There's
no way. If he doesn't start, man, I'll give you $10.
Whoa.
Okay.
But if he does start, you owe me $100.
Yeah, look, I mean, from what we've seen from Trevor Lawrence, I think he's a guy who the way that he plays, I think he's going to take some time to get adjusted to the league, especially because of his coach. I mean, this is Urban Meyer's first year in the NFL, and I don't know if he's going to be ready for the speed of the NFL game the way he was in college right away. You've seen college coaches jump to the league and struggle. There's coaches that are just better suited for college. I don't know if Urban Meyer is one of those guys yet or not, but I'm more concerned about Trevor Lawrence because of Urban Meyer, and that's why I would wait and see on Lawrence this year compared to a guy like Fields who may only provide impact later in the year.
Okay. I can see an argument there.
Okay, well, here's the ultimate question then. Is it Justin Fields or Trey Lance?
I think if you're really debating and you really need either of them, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah, you're kind of in trouble.
I think Trey Lance is more of a development than Fields is, I think. I feel like Fields is going to play more, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you got an open roster spot, you don't have anybody else you want to pick, I think take either of them, see what happens. Maybe you get lucky.
I mean, yeah, I think he's in the same boat there where I think he will make an impact later in the year. Trey Lance reminds me a lot of the way Colin Kaepernick busted on the scene. I mean, same team, same kind of situation. Jimmy G's a good game manager. And if the 49ers can maneuver through the early part of that season and get themselves in a playoff position, they might say, hey, look, Trey Lance has a higher upside than Jimmy G. It's time to put him in. And, yeah. I mean, that's really the same thing as the Bears. And fantasy football is supposed to be fun, so I'm sure I'm going to be the guy that's going to take a Justin Fields, and I'm sure, T. Drake, you're going to be the guy who's going to take a Trey Lance. And, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of the game, you know?
Oh, man. And so just got to give a shout-out to my buddy Buttons. He has the best fantasy name this year. It's Trey Lance, Lance Refrigeration.
That's awesome.
I'm so mad that he thought of that, and I didn't.
Oh, that's great. Well, now he has to take Trey Lance.
Yeah, he's got to take him first round, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
One more guy I wanted to discuss. Controversial topic. Is there any way you guys are going to draft Deshaun Watson this year?
Oh, geez. Heck, I'm not. Actually, you know what? Somebody's probably going to take him, like, last round of the draft if he falls that much. But I don't know. I don't think I would. I think I'm going to avoid that with, like, the plague.
It might just be – seems like there's probably enough good enough options that the risk is just not worth the squeeze.
Yep. So no draft pick there, but if he is able to hop in there at some point, whoever's on the waiver wire, he's the guy that you're going to keep on your watch list pretty much.
Oh yeah. He's going to help your team if he can play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think it's worth rostering him at the spot he would probably go in a draft.
I would agree with that.
Luke, do you have like a mid to late round guy you wanted to maybe steal for either a backup or if you wait too long for a possible starting option?
The only one that I might feel okay with, I feel like maybe Joe Burrow might have some nice upside. He should have a nice – he has Jamar Chase. He has another year. Should be recovered from his injury. I feel like he has some pretty good upside, but I don't know if I would feel comfortable taking him other than like a backup, and we'll see, maybe he's better than my guy. That would probably be my guy, along with maybe like a Trevor Lawrence or maybe even like Mayfield type of guys would be the ones.
Here's a flyer. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh yeah. That's a,
he could be that firecracker that'll give you 35, but he might give you 10.
Yeah. Great matchup player.
Exactly. Yep.
On a playoff team, he has a clear number one. Yeah. That, that 13 through 21 range of QB, there's some interesting options there. Just really either you're going to love them or hate them, I think, in that range. You know, I think you could just go down the list. I mean, we've talked about Trevor Lawrence, probably not somebody who I want to target. I'm really interested to see what Matt Ryan's going to do. No Julio, but he still definitely has some weapons. I want to see how Kyle Pitts plays at tight end, and obviously he has a good rapport there with Calvin Ridley. You know, Tua, I'm interested in Tua. I'm not sold on Daniel Jones. Baker is, you know, ranked pretty low. I know, Luke, I think you wanted to talk about him. He's definitely interesting to me also. What do you have to say about Baker Mayfield, Luke?
I feel like he's just being ranked really low. Some of the boards I'm seeing, I might have him in the 20s. Yeah. And which just seems like lower than Kirk Cousins, lower than Daniel Jones, which just seems very low. I know Nick Chubb and they have a great running game, but you know, Baker hasn't been a slouch at quarterback. I wouldn't say he's been awesome. Or I think he's and fantasy wise, I don't think he's been like awesome, but I wouldn't say he's that bad at. I wouldn't say he definitely has his moments. He could definitely pop off in games here and there. So to be ranked that low, you know, you're borderline in like a 10-team league that has two quarterbacks. You're basically saying he shouldn't be on a roster.
So take your pick there then, Fitzpatrick or Mayfield?
Well, he brings up a great point. I'd probably actually have to take Fitzpatrick because that man slings the ball.
Yeah, just give me Fitzpatrick just because I'm going to have a lot more fun playing that dude and watching that dude than watching Baker and then being like, what are you doing?
He has higher highs. Fitzpatrick has a higher highs. Lower lows, you'll have his highs are really high.
What about Mayfield or Roethlisberger? Same division.
Mayfield.
Yeah, I'll go Mayfield. I think the end is basically there for Roethlisberger.
I think all three of us are on the same page where we have some major concerns about Roethlisberger and Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
I think if you look at Kirk Cousins, you have to worry about the injury factor due to COVID, due to him not getting the COVID vaccine. It just – whether or not you believe in the vaccine, there is a certain injury risk there where if you get that, I don't know, what was it, high likelihood or high risk close contact, he automatically misses more time just because of the fact that he doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And whether you agree with it or not, it's something you have to consider when you're drafting these quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
And you also have to see the runoff of that because Justin Jefferson is going to get impacted by that. Dalvin Cook's going to get impacted by that. I mean, it could be some major. There's a lot of question marks surrounding that whole team just because of that factor and his availability is up in the air from, just being close contact just because you're not vaccinated. It's a lot to juggle for your lineups for sure.
I think it's a risk with all positions this year too because the rules are very – punishing for those who don't have the vaccine, you know?
Yep.
I think it's a legitimate concern.
A guy like Roethlisberger, a little bit older, obviously has some options to distribute the ball to. From what I've heard, he's coming into this season looking like he's in better shape than he's been in before, but I had him as an option, as a backup option last year, and just was never really excited about putting him in the game. Mm-hmm. I think the concern with Roethlisberger is always going to be, you know, interception. That would cause me to try to target a guy like Tua or Baker over Ben Roethlisberger if I had to put them in a ranking there.
It just feels like his upside is so limited. It feels like even last year, like he had – good receivers, you know, you had Thompson, you have Juju,
Chase Claypool
lit it up for a while, but it just doesn't I don't know. It didn't feel like he ever really was a good option, really. You know what I mean? So it just – it might just be a guy I kind of stay away from this year. That's how I feel.
Nobody has Jalen Hurts in the top 10?
11.
11?
I just – my thing with Hurts that worries me the most is not really him, but mostly his team.
Exactly.
I don't think that team is, like, any good or very good at all, and I also don't like their coach. So I think it's going to be a disaster, honestly, and it just worries me.
You know, they add Devontae Smith, who I do really like, and I think he has some Terry McLaurin-type abilities. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's enough either. And I don't know if his running game is as high of a level as being ranked the top 10 quarterback. There has been a lot of talk about getting him for value as your QB2. And if you could get him as the 15th drafted quarterback, sure, there's some value there. But if you're drafting him as a top 10 starter and point getter at the position, I think you're going to be disappointed as well. I know that division was the weakest in football last year, but the Cowboys spent heavily on defense in the draft. I think they'll be better. And both of those other teams were right at Philadelphia's level. So I have some concerns about that too. I would definitely go Brady, Tannehill, and I would go Stafford above Jalen Hurts, maybe even Joe Burrow too. So,
yeah, I just – it's not him. He's clearly pretty skilled, and he seems like he's in the mold of like we were talking about where he can run, he can do it on the ground, and he can throw, so he's going to get you points that way. It's more of the situation around him that worries me the most. Like, who's – he has – they drafted a receiver, right?
Yeah, Devonta Smith.
Yeah. Other than him, I guess you have Goddard, right, at tight end. But yep. It just feels like their weapons are kind of lacking overall. That really has me worried.
I feel like we should go out with a bang and talk about the Super Bowl champion, Tom Brady.
Yeah. How do we wait this long? I think he's a solid play. He always seems like he's solid. Even in the years, the last couple of years, I feel like people have rated him kind of lower. He still will manage to have a good season, fantasy-wise, good enough or pretty good. He has a ton of weapons, man. He has a ton of weapons.
That's the biggest thing working for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's not as good as he used to be, but – he has all the weapons. But he's still good. I think he's a fine play. I just don't know about his. I don't feel like he has the upside of some of those other guys, especially the running quarterbacks. But out of the pocket passing quarterbacks, he's probably the overall most solid play week in and week out. You're probably going to know about what you're going to get from him. You know he's going to probably play too because when was the last time he missed a game due to injury, really? You know what I mean? When was the last time he's been injured? So he's consistent, and he's consistently good.
Yeah, he's a top – he's number 10 for me on my board, QB10. He's just – yep, weapons. You pretty much summed it all up. My biggest thing is, yeah, those weapons, man. It's just – yeah, it's going to be solid. Another solid year from him, I can see.
I like Brady more than Herbert. I think the thing with Tampa is that one of those receivers goes off every week.
Yeah, especially now that they have Antonio Brown back. Or actually, I feel like now he'll actually has a season in the system. Godwin, Evans, you know, they just have so much there.
You never really know who it's going to be, but – yeah, one of them is usually popping off. Even Gronk, I mean, they still have Cameron Brate, I believe.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
So there's tons of possibilities for him. And I know they're going to have a difficult schedule, but that division doesn't scare me. The schedule will be tough just because they got to play the top teams, you know. He's showed consistency, obviously, throughout his career. But at the same time, the high upside is not there. And if you do end up getting Tom Brady as your main starter, I do think it is important to draft another quarterback quickly afterwards to make sure not only that you fill that bye week, but protect yourself in case of an injury or in case of, a really bad matchup and a chance for somebody to take his spot in case stuff goes wrong, you know. All right, well, I mean, that does it for the return of the Fantasy Flex podcast. For myself, Tom Keeble, Uncle Luke Robbins, Big Daddy Tyler Drake, congrats again. Thank you all for joining us on this episode. We'll try to be back on a weekly basis for you to help set your lineups and get you those fantasy championships. And for everybody out there, thanks again and stay flexing.
Welcome back, boys.